Hello.
Hey, Gabby, this is Smoke Stark. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. First off, sports fans, we are on the phone with Gabby Cabral-Richards from TSN. First off, I want to ask you, you have a very unique style of interviewing. How did you come up with such an animated approach to your reporting?
Wait, were you in Boston celebrating the World Series? Like, I feel like you may have been in Fenway and you've been yelling for...
That's why I'm called Smoke. This is my voice.
72 straight hours at the top of your lungs. Sweet, just if, like, Sweet Carolina's on repeat, you're that dude.
Exactly.
Ball dude. So to answer your question, and I hope that wasn't offensive.
That's all good.
Okay. I guess myself, and that's the way I actually talk to my friends. When I started, I just stayed being the idiot that you see on the screen, and my bosses, they're like, all right, they knew that I wasn't trying to be a traditional broadcaster, so my boss was like, all right, yeah, just stick to doing that, and that's how it appeared, my style.
Yeah, and you started off with the Score as an intern doing Cabbie on the Streets.
That's right.
How did that internship and that little segment help rocket you into the career that you have right now?
I guess after about a year or so of just doing streeters, I got a job at Sportsnet, and I started working on a basketball show and a baseball show. And then I started interacting with the athletes.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I'm known for. And then when I went back to the Score, I kind of went then I had already established a relationship with several athletes, so it just continued. And then there was just more repetition, and I got to cover, like, bigger events like March Madness and the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA All-Star Games. And sort of, so just getting more reps and covering bigger events is how I was able to go to a higher level.
Well, exactly. And one of those interesting, very funny relationships is with Kobe Bryant. Can you sort of explain how that developed through the years?
Of course, yeah. I started smiling as soon as you started to say that. I don't think Kobe has the same reaction when he hears my name, but I smile when I hear his. It started in December of 2005, and at the time, Kobe's Q rating or his general perception was very low.
Yeah.
He'd gone through a whole corridor deal in Colorado, so I came along at the right time, and I didn't want to ask anything serious or anything at all that was kind of newsworthy. I just want to know about him.
Yeah.
So in the span of about 3 months, I interviewed him four times doing my same stupid, silly style. And then every time I interviewed him, I'd ask him something about staying at his house. And he sort of caught on to it. He's like, okay, this is fun. I'll start to lower my guard.
Yeah.
And over time, now his guard is completely down and I just do whatever.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And is that sort of the mentality you go into when you have an athlete that is maybe more protective and a little more shy than others might be?
Oh, yeah, there's certainly those athletes, absolutely, because people, certainly Americans, aren't that familiar with me. I mean, if I've interviewed them before, they may be like, yeah, I kind of remember this guy. He's a little strange.
Yeah.
So people definitely are more guarded and have, and some of them are shy, so... My approach is just try to hit them with an angle that they've never been hit with before. So I'm just running across the street here.
Yeah.
Hope it's not too windy. and in that, then that will hopefully have them lower their guard. Because I don't care about losing streaks or quarterback controversy or any that kind of stuff. Just want to show the audience their personality. And once they experience it, then they're like, okay, this is a break from the norm for me, and I appreciate it. Recently, I interviewed Carmelo Anthony in New York, and at the end of the interview, he said, this one was kind of fun because you asked me stuff that nobody asked me. Like, that was the general gist of it, and that was pretty cool. It was pretty rewarding.
And in these interviews that you do, because they're sort of unorthodox, does that help maybe the athletes as well connect with their fans? Because the fans see... These athletes just have fun with you and sort of break out of their shell.
100%, it helps the connection to the audience. Social media has certainly helped, but my interaction, showing them, I mean, the big part of what I do is I try to make athletes look relatable.
Yeah.
Even though they make a lot of money and they have an extraordinary amount of talent,
yeah,
I try to make them seem like regular guys because they are regular dudes. Like, we'll go eat burgers and french fries and talk about seeing The Conjuring or watching, you know, friggin' Game of Thrones. Like, they're regular dudes.
Yeah.
So when fans see them act like regular dudes, it's endearing, and they certainly enjoy that side of their personality.
Exactly. And I actually want to go through a few of these segments that you've done over the years, starting with reuniting yourself with your brother, Mike Richards, from now the LA Kings. How did that go about?
I only heard about him. We never met. We didn't meet until the second last game of Philadelphia season.
Yeah.
In 2010. They were playing the Leafs, and they needed to win out in order to get the eighth seed in the playoffs, and they did, and they beat out New Jersey. So we met a couple days before the end of the season,
yeah.
And I think we'd heard of each other, and then I just opened with, did you get my Christmas present, because I sent one to you.
Yeah.
And then over the course of that year, or the next 2 months, they made it to the Stanley Cup Final, and then I interviewed him probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 more times.
Yeah.
And then we just developed a bond. I think he was familiar with what I do.
Yeah.
So he knew that it was going to be jokey, and he didn't have to take it very seriously.
Well, exactly. I mean, how can you take it seriously when, you know, someone basically calls you the long-lost brother? And
right.
So, no, and that you've actually done that a couple of times. You've done that with another athlete in the stalls. You are, the fifth stall now?
Yeah, thank you very much. Good research. I started that with the stalls when Eric went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2006.
Yeah.
And I showed up in Edmonton, and he didn't know me, and I heard of him, and that's how I started the bit. I was like, you know, I know there are four of you guys, but let's set the record straight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the fifth stall brother. And that just continued. And again, so you're like 2008. You know, Pittsburgh went to the Stanley Cup Final. 2009, they went again. And I had, you know, I went to, like, NBA or NHL All-Star games. So every one of the brothers that I saw, my producer Dave came up with a bit where he said, every time you see them, you should give them $20 for lunch.
Yeah.
He said that this comes from Mom. So that's been the running theme. And actually, I just recently interviewed Eric Staal.
Yeah.
And that interview hasn't aired yet. But so I gave him $20, and he's like, you know what? With inflation, it should be $40. So I gave him $40. And he never gives it back. I think Jordan gives it back half of the time, and Mark keeps it, but Eric absolutely keeps it. It's close to like $200 that I've given him over the few years.
Oh my God, it's almost like you're the all-star athlete, and you know.
That's right. I said to him, like, what are you going to start treating me? Like, his mom is concerned, but he had some way to get out of it. But it's pretty fun. I have a great time with those guys.
That's awesome. And going to, like, the different sports and everything, what sport has the most cooperative athletes for you to interview?
I'd say out of the CFL. CFL guys are amazing, but if I want to keep it to the four majors,
yeah.
It's a toss-up between hockey and basketball.
Yeah.
It's close. You know what?
Yeah.
Actually, football players. I've had great experiences with NFL guys. I've interviewed about half a dozen or eight of them, and they've all been great. Gronkowski, Aaron Rodgers, Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders. I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
Ray Lewis, Matt Ryan, they've been awesome. So I'll say football players.
I actually just saw the Matt Ryan one a few days ago, and that was absolutely hilarious. How did you get Sean Ashmore to agree to sort of give his advice on being an Iceman to Matt Ryan?
I've known Sean for about 12 years.
Yeah.
When I was, before I started doing Cabin the Sheet, I was an actor. I didn't have any kind of success. It was like super small, like little, I might say a line in a Tim Hortons commercial or something. It was like very, very, very small.
Yeah.
And we had a mutual friend. So we used to hang out And him and his brother had a condo downtown about two blocks from my place.
Yeah.
So, we would hang out. So, we've been friends since I met him in 2001.
Yeah.
And then my first trip to Los Angeles was to go see him and his brother, who were out there for pilot season after the first X-Men movie.
Yeah.
That's how we're friends.
Oh, that's awesome. And you've interviewed quite a few actors as well as athletes. What's your, other than, you know, Sean Ashmore, who's your sort of favorite actor that you've interviewed that's more the most entertaining?
Will Ferrell.
Yeah?
He was awesome. I interviewed him in a bathroom in Vegas. and he showed up in, like, this really ugly, like, fur coat that was, like, made of, like, cat fur or something like that. You know, when you're in a room with Will Ferrell, it's like you're automatically going to play the straight man.
Yeah.
Unless you're like Chris Rock or, you know, Kevin Hart or someone who, unless you're like super quick, then there's no sense in trying to match wits with Will Ferrell. So he's number one, and then number two would be Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman was awesome. He's just like such a pro as far as interviews go.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Hugh Jackman. Is it just like, does he sort of give off the Wolverine impression when you even just meet him for the first time?
No, he's he's a superstar. Like,
yeah.
he's just very composed, and I think he could play with anything. Like, I gave him boxing. He was promoting the boxing movie, the one where the robots were boxing. I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, Real Steel, yeah.
Real Steel, yeah. So at the end of the bit, I gave him boxing gloves. I'm like, hey, I want to learn how to do the fake punch, and then he punched me in the face. It was great. So, you don't know what to expect, but he's like such a talented performer. He can sing, he can dance.
Yeah.
He's a dramatic actor. I mean, he do it. Prisoners was unbelievable. Like, he can do anything.
Yeah.
So he's just a pro.
Exactly. And who is the? You say he's sort of sometimes surprising with the talents that Hugh Jackman has. Who is the most surprising interview that you've had that you thought maybe this guy might need to be loosened up, and then all of a sudden he's almost as crazy as you are?
Oh, wow. Great question. Who surprised me? Let me think. I didn't know what to expect with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
but he surprised me with how playful he was in our very first encounter. We had put him in these iconic these backgrounds because he used to photobomb people. So
yeah,
you know, we put him in the audience in a Michael Jordan slam dunk contest. We put him with the Rat Pack, and just his dry sense of humor. I didn't know before meeting him, and then it was so. But he's not crazy. Okay, let me try to think of someone who's like off the wall, like,
yeah,
almost like, you know, well, I guess I didn't know what to expect from Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike Tyson was both introspective and childlike.
Yeah.
So he would go for moments of being really, like, serious and have all these thoughts about greatness, and then he would be, like, giddy like a kid when I asked him to sing, and then he put Vaseline on my face at the end of the interview. So, like, he's one that surprised me because I didn't know what my expectations were, but he passed whatever those were.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at your segment of selfies with the NHL players.
Thanks, man.
And I was surprised that Captain Serious Jonathan Taves was one of the more outgoing people during that segment.
Yeah, you know, we're friends off camera, so
yeah,
and that's another bond that developed in that same 2010 year where Philly met Chicago in the finals. I was interviewing both him and Mike Richards often, and that's why I formed this relationship. And the last time I saw Taze, we had a night out here in Toronto, and it was a fun night. So we're friends, and we text each other and stuff like that. So there's a certain level of comfort that he has in my interviews, and that showed, which he doesn't generally show to other people.
No, exactly, and that's how he's sort of gotten the name of Captain Serious.
Of course, yeah.
Um, So the athletes that we haven't touched upon yet are baseball athletes. Is there any baseball athlete that you really enjoy interviewing?
David Ortiz, hands down. Actually, David Ortiz, Torrey Hunter, Vernon Wells. But Ortiz, when you get him laughing,
yeah,
it's amazing because he has a big barrel laugh, deep voice. He's just got a great laugh. Torrey Hunter's awesome because he's so outgoing, and he's actually a funny guy.
Yeah.
And then Vernon Wells is great for me because Vernon will let me do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I could pull down Vernon's pants in the interview. Like, the dude is so cool. Like, he's so chill. And he's just such a nice guy. Unfortunately, he carries the burden of this insane contract, so he's always...
Yeah.
You know, people always look at the money and it's production and
yeah.
But he's just such a nice guy. So I love interviewing those three dudes.
Oh, that's awesome. And all three of those dudes are absolutely awesome to watch. You are based in Toronto, and I'm guessing you visit the Toronto Blue Jays quite a bit. Who's your favorite on the Toronto Blue Jays to interview? Is it Bautista? Is it Laurie, or who is it?
Yeah, Jose Bautista. We have a pretty good relationship, and Jose is another guy that actually lets me get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He's a great dude and a good sport. Obviously, he's like the franchise player here.
Yeah.
And I've probably interviewed him 4 or 5 times. I got him once this is like 5:30. So the game starts at 7:05.
Yeah.
I got him once to come out in his Blue Jay uniform at 5:30, out, like, leave the ballpark,
whoa,
get a hot dog, and us record him walking around the park with a hot dog. And then I was up on top of the CN Tower.
Oh.
I was shooting a bit, and my producer, Dave, was like, people didn't believe it was him. They kind of looked, like, yeah, sideways a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're like, there's no way that could be Jose Bautista. Like, the game starts in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But he came out to shoot, like, the other half of this scene.
Yeah,
and I'll always be grateful for that.
And that's the great thing about your style is people want to do these crazy stuff with you because it's fun for them. It's almost as fun, if not more fun, for them as it is for you. It looks like.
Well, sometimes I mean there are some people that have no time for it. LeBron doesn't really like me very much. Chris Paul doesn't really like me very much, which is understandable because I am annoying and I am obnoxious. So it's not for everyone. But the guys that really embrace it,
yeah,
then they're into it, which is awesome.
Yeah, and lastly, I want to, as we know, we're Canadians, everything, I want to talk about the Cabbie's journey to the Cup. How was that like, and how did that even come about?
In 2006, I went to a couple of Edmonton Oilers versus Carolina Hurricanes games.
Yeah.
And... I was only allowed to the practices, so I didn't really cover the game per se. I think I did a bit on playoff beards and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then the next year, I covered the conference finals and the finals when Ottawa made its run.
Yeah.
And then 2008, they were like, okay, let's make this a full playoff commitment.
Yeah.
We'll get it sponsored and we'll send you on the road. And you know, I took like I did like little video logs and this is before. Twitter hadn't even been around, so it was like, yeah, I would put like little video clips on the website, on the blog, and
yeah,
and that's kind of how it starts. So the reaction from the previous years, 2006 and 2007,
yeah,
generated enough interest at the station for them to be like, okay, let's do this for real.
Yeah.
You know, 10 weeks or 9 weeks on the road, get out of here, come home, edit, and get back on the road.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And how is it like you interviewed a lot of players and also you drank from the cup in Chicago and then you also ate Captain Crunch from the cup with Mike Richards when the LA Kings won their cup. What's that like doing those kind of things with the cup?
It's surreal. And I have no business touching the cup whatsoever. I know I violated some kind of unwritten rule.
Yeah.
And I was too dumb to know any better. And plus, when people see me on camera, I'm like a lot of people's friend. Like, a lot of people have a friend like me.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot and, like, I'm obnoxious. And I just do kind of strange things. So that people kind of follow me as though like, oh, that's almost like, oh, I know him. I know what he's about. And
yeah.
So they're following vicariously with me. The Captain Crunch was amazing because yeah. I've been wanting to do that since 2008. So
yeah.
Finally getting to do that in the after party was special.
Oh, I'd imagine. And just getting it to do with, you know, Mike Richards, your friend, must have been something
that
you...
I'll tell you one thing, though. If you ever have the chance to drink from the Stanley Cup, always wipe the rim.
Okay.
Always wipe the rim. Because if not, you're making out with, like, 100 dudes.
Oh, no.
and like, you don't, like... And it could be really grimy.
Oh.
I was very fortunate not to, like, the first time I drank from it, not to come away with... any bumps on my lips. Very, very important. So, like, take the bottom of your shirt and wipe that rim. No one's going to be offended. It's just a matter of precaution.
Oh, absolutely. Sanitary and safety is number one, for sure.
There you go.
Anyways, I want to thank you very much for this interview. It's been absolutely awesome and an honor.
No problem, man. Thank you for the call, and good luck with the show the rest of the way, my man.
All right, thank you very much, and good luck with Cabbie Presents.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.